Good morning.
Sue and I are honored to be in your presence this day, and certainly we appreciate the opportunity. Your pastor shared with me the other day that there's death in his family, and we want to be in prayer for them, and I know you continue to pray for them as they travel, and pray for them that they'll have traveling grace as they come back and continue to serve in this great church. So it is good to be in the Lord's house with you this day, and I'd like for you to take the Word of God. Turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. The Word of God. We're going to talk about God's presence in our trials. Now, if you've never experienced a trial and you're not going to experience trials, you can leave. But if you're presently experiencing a trial or going through a tough time, or we never know what's coming down the pipe, God has a word for us. He has great assurance of His presence in our time of great need. So I'd like to share with you the reading of the Word of God in Daniel chapter 3. We'll use the entirety. Of course, I will not read the entire chapter, so don't get nervous over that. But I would like to share with you a few verses. Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God, Daniel 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth 66 cubits. 90 feet high, 9 feet wide. He set it up the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down," that means fall flat on your face, "and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." And look at the consequences. "And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace." With God through the trials of life, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that your will might be accomplished. These folks did not come to hear what I have to say. They need to hear what you have to say, Lord. Lord, I pray that I will decrease in order that you might increase. That, Lord, that your Spirit will speak, and the only change can come from your presence, Lord. I ask for forgiveness of my sin, and I ask, dear God, that you'll give me your strength and your Spirit might prevail. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Someone has said that Christians are like tea. Their strength doesn't come out until they get in hot water. Sooner or later, you and I, if we're a child of God, we're going to face some tough times. You may be facing a tough time, but sooner or later, you and I are going to face tougher times than we can ever imagine unless the Lord comes or we pass away. We're living in a time when there's great animosity against the children of God. That's the devil's plan. It's always been his plan. And today God gives us some encouragement in the times of which we are part of, when we have to stand for the Lord, regardless of the consequences, regardless of the situation. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, He not only has given you a ticket to heaven, He has given to you and me the courage to stand for the Lord in the midst of adversity and to be a shining light in a time of darkness. So God has a word to say to us. And I want to share with you somewhat about three Hebrew men. Their names are not common names in Warren County, Mississippi. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three men of God. Three fearless men of courage who are willing to stand for a faithful Father than to bend for the common good of their own life. They were willing to go through standing faithful to the Father than to disappoint Him. You know, that should be our desire today. It's to stand for God regardless of the consequences, regardless of the situation. We're going to stand true to the faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now note, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, has made a decree. He wants everyone to bow down and worship his gods. He wants to know that he is in charge and he does have power. He is the king of the world, the king of the known empire of that day of Babylon. So he calls together all of his craftsmen. He says, I want you to make an image, a golden image. And I want you to make it so everyone can see. They will have no excuse, I didn't see it. And I want it to be known that there's going to be a lot of music, a band's going to start playing, that everyone will hear. And when they see that golden image and they hear the sound of that music, they fall flat on their face to give tribute to our gods and to obey my command. If they refuse to obey, they will be cast in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. That's what he says in Daniel 3 and verse 6. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. So here we are. The golden image is erected. It is placed in the proper place. And sure enough, true to his word, the music begins to sound. And friend, listen carefully. 99.9% of those who were gathered in that land, they fell to the ground on their face, knowing the severe consequences of not obeying the king's instructions. All but three were willing to obey the king. Who are these three? Look, if you will, in verse 12. Daniel 3 and verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They have been given proper instructions, and they refuse to bow down and worship the golden image. They have disobeyed your commands, which you set up. All but three. When asked why they refused to obey the king's commands, notice the response of these three men. Verse 18, he says, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, how does it respond to the sayings in Warren County, Mississippi? It may go like this. King Neb, you are a few fries short of a Happy Meal if you think we're going to bow down and worship that golden image. We will not bow. We will not bend. We will not budge. And we will not burn. You know the story. In rage and fury, the king shouts to where everyone understands what he's saying in verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Smoke was coming out of his ears. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. Friend, from this account, we discover God's presence in the midst of adversity if we stand for the Lord. You say, well, preacher, I've been a Christian for so many years, I've never gone through trouble. My friend, listen, if you've never gone through trouble, you've never stood for the Lord. If you're standing for the Lord, you're going to experience trials and troubles. Jesus said, in this world, in this present tense life, you're going to face tribulation. Trials and troubles and tears and disappointment and loneliness. This world hates God. And this world not only hates God, it hates anyone who wants to obey the Word of God and walk in the will of God. But as you stand for the Lord, there's some truths we discover from these passages this morning. truths that can encourage you and encourage me to continue to stand for God, to continue to walk with God regardless of the consequences. What do we discover in these verses? First of all, let's notice these men experienced great fury. Let it be known, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to obey. Can you imagine what the king is thinking? He looks across the plains of Dura, and everyone is bowed but these three punks. He shouts, I'll get even with those holy Joes. They're going to pay a price. They have disobeyed the king of Babylon. They've disobeyed my command. Everybody has succumbed to me but these three holy Joes, and I'm going to make sure that they're cast in the midst of that burning fiery furnace. This was an insult to his authority. He was going to get even with it. It's the last thing that he did. And can you imagine? He says, heat the furnace 7 times hotter. We've got 3 gods fixing to be burnt to a crisp. You know, Jesus gave us this understanding that when we stand for Him, we're going to face adversity. You're going to face adversity if you're a child of God. Standing for the Lord. I'm going to face adversity. We're going to face adversity. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's truly standing on the front line, shouting the battle cry, onward Christian soldiers, is going to face adversity from a godless world. What's going to be our response? Poor old me. Oh, I can't believe that God would allow this to happen to me. I've been standing for Him at work. I've been standing for Him in my home, on the job, on the ball field, wherever I go. And look at the results. Does it pay to serve God? Poor old me. Let me remind you what the Word of God said. Jesus made these announcements in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Listen to what He says concerning this matter. He says, blessed, verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. My friend, this world is not going to pay homage to you if you're a child of God. This world is not going to pay homage to me. This world is not going to roll the red carpet out and say, come walk on the red carpet and listen to the music. We welcome you. It's going to be just the opposite. They'll pull the carpet out from under you. Jesus said, when this happens, as you stand for me, don't cry, don't whine, don't complain, don't shout, poor old me, for standing for Jesus. Go to your home with your mouth over your lips, giggling and laughing, because you know that you stood for the Lord and you've placed yourself with other great people of God, the prophets of God, who stood for God, who spoke for God, and likewise they faced similar persecution, even death. Now let's try to put some modern day Christianity into this old story. How would we respond today faced with the burning fiery furnace? Could it go like this? Well, you know, when in Babylon, do as the Babylonians do. You know, we as Christians, we're supposed to get along with everyone. We're not to insult anyone. Oh, we follow Jesus Christ, but listen carefully. If we're going to have anything to do with these other folk, we've got to go along with the flow. We've got to just blend in. Friends, listen, God didn't call us to be compromising Christians. God called us to be soldiers. And as soldiers, we have the Word of God in our heart. And we are armed with the Spirit of God, and we're walking forward. Our destiny is heaven, but we know that there's going to be traps the devil is going to set before us. There's going to be an enemy. He's a real enemy. He's a threat, my friend. You cannot stand alone. I cannot stand alone. We must stand in the power of Almighty God as we move forward in the name of the Lord. And if we don't, we will be succumbing to Satan's trap. You see, our profession and our practice should go alike, should be alike. I profess to know Christ as my Lord and Savior. I profess to know that He is my only means of salvation. I profess to know that He's willing to forgive me of all my sin through the shed blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But my practice every day should comply with my profession. And if not, there's trouble. Another group says, well, you know, we better bow down if we're going to have a chance to witness to the King. We just better bow down if we're going to have a chance to witness to the King. Friend, it's never right to do wrong, even to get a chance to do right. Let that sink in for a moment. It's never right to do wrong, even in attempting to have a chance to do right. Our witness has no price tag on it. You can go to the car lot and you see price tags everywhere. You can go to a store and you can see price tags everywhere. But my friend, listen carefully. Your witness is more valuable than all the treasures on this earth. And when we compromise in our faith and we compromise in our practice and we compromise in our walk with God, we are declaring that He's not the God who demands every ounce of our life. Another group says, well, you know, we'll go through the form outwardly, but we'll never mean it in our heart. You know, we'll just pretend. We'll just act like we're going to obey the King, and we'll just bow down and we'll fall flat to the ground, but you know, we don't mean it. But we're going to save our neck. That's happening today, friends. That's why the church is in the predicament that we're in today. We've compromised. We've become complacent. We want to blend in. Listen, friend, we're in the world, but we're not governed by the standards of the world. We're governed by the standards of God. Far different than the standards of the world. Can you imagine back in those days of Rome, when Rome ruled the world, a family is walking down the street. They know Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've received Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they're walking down the street, and a Roman soldier comes up, pulls his sword up, and puts it up to that husband and that father's throat. He says, say Caesar's Lord, or I'll kill you before your family. Those kids begin to cry, and that wife begins to weep. And that soldier said, I said, one more chance. You better say Caesar's Lord, or I'm going to cut your head off right before your family. That man of God, he says, Lord, give me strength. Jesus is Lord. And he dies before his family. Christians, when we take a real stand for Christ, we're going to face a fiery furnace. You're going to face trials and troubles and tears and tribulations that this world is going to hurl against you. When you refuse to bow, to bend, to budge, or to burn. The second truth I share with us, we discover these folks faced a lot of fury, but they had a lot of faith. Wow. What faith? Faith that could climb to the top of the mountain. Faith that could recognize that all things are possible with God. But when we discover their faith, we discover some truths. And I want to share with you in verse 14, back to Daniel chapter 3, verse 14. I'd like to read a few verses. Nebuchadnezzar spake, and he said unto them, it is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I've set up? Who do you think you are? You mean you're not going to bow down and worship like the rest of the folk? He says, okay, boys. Now, if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I've made, well, it's going to be okay. You know, you're off scot-free. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fire furnace. And listen to this. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You think your God is able? When you were cast in that burning fire furnace, you can shout and scream, your God will not deliver you. but I discover some truths from these verses. You know, what do we discover about their faith? Their faith, number one, was a settled faith. Notice back in, if you will, in verse 18, after he tried to scare the wits out of them the second time, he says in verse 18, they said, "We will not serve thy gods nor worship the gold image which thou set up." End of story. King Neb, get a life. It's over. Do you think they said, "Hey, King, hold on a minute. Could you give us 30 minutes? We're going to get together and we're going to try to discover what we're going to do. Let's see if we really want to pay this price." Oh, no. They didn't have to meet. They didn't have to take a vote. They didn't say the two out of three is going to determine what we're going to do. We're either going to bow or we're not going to bow. They said with great authority, "We, under no conditions, it doesn't matter how many opportunities you give us, let it be known, O King, we have made up our mind. It is settled. We are going to walk with God. We're not going to deny our God. We are not going to turn our back on God. We will not bow down. Our faith is a settled faith." Is your faith settled? Or is it up for grabs? You say, "What do you mean, preacher?" Go back and read Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No graven images. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Lying, all of these things. My friend, listen carefully. If we have to determine what we're going to do when we're tempted with these matters, we are in big trouble. Our faith must be a settled faith. When temptation stares us in the face, we know what God has said and we're walking with God regardless of the consequences. But secondly, we notice their faith was had a lot of surety in it. They said, "King, you can heat that furnace up 14 times hotter. You can try to scare the wits out of us. But I want to let you know you're wasting your energy. Because we know that our God is able to deliver us. We do not serve a namby-pamby, powerless, pathetic God, but a God who is able, alert, and willing, and alive, and wanting to deliver us." Do you have a sure faith? You say, "What do you mean a sure faith?" The surety that if you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, you've got a home in heaven, and God is going to be with you day by day as you walk with Him. That when you leave, when you breathe your last breath on this earth, if you're a child of God, you'll automatically be in the presence of God. Absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Is your faith sure? Some folks say, "Well, I hope so." My friend, Jesus didn't die on that cross to give you a hope-so salvation. I'm trying. He didn't die on the cross to give you a salvation that you're trying to earn. It's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and faith alone through the grace of God that we can certainly come to know Him as our Savior and Lord, and we can say with great confidence, "I know that I know that I know You'll deliver me." Thirdly, let's notice, not only did they have that knowledge that God would deliver them, they had a faith that was steadfast. Look at verse 17 and 18. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not..." Now, he wasn't saying he may be and he may not. You know, that's the way I hope he will, but I'm not sure. That's the way we pray quite often. "I know he can, but I'm not sure he will." And James said, if we're like that, we're like the waves on the sea that come against the shore and they go, it has no direction. And they're not saying maybe he will and maybe he won't, but they're adding to the confidence they have in the Lord in this verse by saying, Verse 17, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known to thee, O King, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up."
their faith was a steadfast faith.
You know what they're basically saying? Our God is able. We don't know what God's going to do, but He's going to do something that's going to bring honor and glory to Him. If He doesn't release us from that burning fire furnace, He will see us through that burning fiery furnace. My friend, listen carefully. God has a perfect will for your life. Sometimes the perfect will of God for your life is far different than your desire in life. We do not want to go through any heartaches. We do not want to have any trials, any troubles, any tears, any tribulations. We just want a primrose lane. We want everybody to like us and love us and care for us. We do not want the furnace heated up. But the child of God, with a sure faith and a settled faith, understands, regardless of the situation, God is a perfect will, and God will see us through this time. Listen, He did something better. You say, what could be better than releasing them from the burning fire furnace? He saw them through the midst of their great difficulty. Their faith was strengthened through the fiery trials of life. You know, fire has ability to burn and destroy. But fire also has the ability to refine, to purify, and to strengthen. God will never seek to destroy you. Your faith is not up for destruction. Your faith is up for being strengthened. And sometimes it's through the fiery trials of life that we find and we discover our faith is strengthened because God has been with us through the fiery trials of our life. Finally, let's notice, great things happen as they face that fury of the fire. And a faith that will resolve to look straightly in the presence of God. Great, unusual things took place. Now, the Bible says that when the king ordered the strongest soldiers to get these three guys and cast them in a burning fiery furnace, the Bible says that when they opened the furnace door, the flames leaped. It was so hot in there that it really consumed the soldiers. But before they were gone, they cast those three guys in the burning fiery furnace, sealed it closed. King, I imagine he's just praying around. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. I told them. I gave them warning. I gave them a second chance. They refused, and we're going to see the consequences. So after a while, the king says, let me go look at those charred remains. He walks up there, and when he looks in that fiery furnace, wow, unusual things take place. Look, if you will, in verse 24 and 25. Of Daniel chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste. And he spake and he said unto the counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They said, O king, yes we did. We followed your orders. He answered and said, but I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. He was astonished. He looked in that fiery furnace, and the only thing that was consumed off of these three guys were the straps and the ropes they tied them with. They weren't singed. I mean, they were having the time of their life in there. In the midst of their trials, they were cleansed. Friend, listen, only thing the fire is going to consume is that which the world places on us. The fires of this world will consume only that which we allow the world to place on us. That which is eternal, that which is spiritual, that which comes from God will be with us forever and forever and forever. It never has an end. No matter how hot the flames go, are at that time. We also see, we hear him say, they have no hurt. Verse 24.
excuse me, verse 27. He says, and the prince, and the, neither were their coats charged, or the smell had passed on them. In other words, they have no hurt. But here's the great truth. He looked in that fiery furnace. He didn't see three. He saw four. And the fourth one was like the Son of God. Who was that fourth man? Our Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, I will never under any condition leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you every step of your life if you will walk in my will. I will be with you. My power will be with you. My provisions will be for you. My promises are there. My protection is there. And they stood for the Lord in the midst of that burning fire furnace. Our Savior was there. Wow. We have a choice today, folks. You're going to face tribulations in life. And you're either going to say it like this, I'll do it by myself. I'm strong enough. I've got enough money in the bank. I've got good health. I know a lot of folks. I can take care of this matter. I'm not going to trust the Lord. And when the furnace is heated, your happiness and your joy and your peace is consumed because it's all built around what man can do. But when they heat the furnace because you stand for Jesus and they cast you in the midst of it, our Lord is present with you. And the last thing I say, there was conviction. I mean, when the king looked in there, he saw these three, he called them Hebrew punks. And they're walking around there happy. They're joyful. They're just singing joyful praises because the Savior's with them. And he cries out, change the rules. They worship the true and living God. I make a decree that their God be the God of worship. Folks, this lost world is not looking at our church membership attendance. You know, they're not interested in saying, I got all these pins. I hadn't missed Sunday school for 10 years. You can throw them over your shoulders. Look at me. I've achieved this. I'm this. I'm that. I've accomplished this. Look at my tithing record. Look at all that I give. I want to tell you what this world is looking for is to understand, does Jesus make a difference when the fires are burning, when you're standing for the Lord and you're cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace, when you're alienated from others, when you feel loneliness because you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, when no one will have anything to do with you because you love the Lord and they don't want to associate with you and the fires, the temperature is there to consume you, that you're willing to stand. You're not whining. You're not complaining. You're willing to stand. And the king was convinced that their God was a true and living God. It could be in your family today that you're saying, well, you know, I'm facing a fire adversity. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you stand for godly principles. The Lord will see you through. If it's down at your job or wherever you are, you're trying to stand for the Lord and you're facing adversity, you stand for Jesus. He'll see you through. But it could be today that you're trying to stand on your own and you're facing adversity. You've tried reading this. You've tried this seminar. You've tried all these other matters and it's just the same, going worse. I want to invite you to come to the only one who will be with you thick and thin. That's Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you, if you're a child of God, you're walking with God, to continue walking with the Lord. God will be with you in the midst of your adversity. If you have a sure faith, a settled faith, and a steadfast faith, we can honestly sing that song. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches over His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. My word of prayer. The Lord is going to come and lead us in our hymn of decision in just a moment. We're going to sing number 294, Have Thine Own Way. Did you come to do business on your terms or God's terms? If God is speaking in your life today, and you need to make an open commitment of salvation, you come to the Lord. You say, what I do, in my hands no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. You come and claim the shed blood of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins. And you invite Him into your heart. Forgive you your sin and become your Lord and Savior. Make it known publicly. And if you're in this fellowship and the Lord's saved you and you need to become a member of this fellowship and go to work for the Lord, there'll be one at the front to come and share with you. Timmy will come and stand in the front, and as a representative of this church, to receive you. Let's have prayer. Father, Thy will be done. It's not about us, Lord. It's about You. I pray, Lord, that You'll receive all the honor and the glory because of Jesus Christ and His presence and His power and His provisions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand on your feet at this moment? God is speaking and you need to make an open commitment. You come and share that with us at this time on the beginning of the first word of the first verse, if you'll lead us.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter.
For your presence in the Lord's house today and allow us to be here this day. And may God bless you. And Timmy, would you, if you'll dismiss it.
We have a few announcements before our closing song. Jeannie has asked that no one please do not purchase any more batting or cotton balls. If you have already bought them, bring them and go ahead and bring them over the next week. But we have all that we need for the kids. Thank you for your wonderful support. This is all coming from Jeannie. Thank you for your wonderful support of VBS this year. We have an outstanding number of volunteers, not only from the congregation, but also from the youth. I also want to bring up just a couple more things. We have our Sunday school breakfast on June the 3rd. So June the 3rd, instead of our regular Sunday school, we will be having a church-wide meal. Come and join us for that breakfast. It'll be some great food and great fellowship. Timmy, do you have any announcements? There being no further announcements, let's join hands and sing our parting chorus. When we all get to heaven.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.